welcome, ladies.
Welcome.
My name is Christina McConnell. And I have come to share with you true and wonderful things, what the Lord has shown me. I'm from Child Evangelism Fellowship. I am the missionary director there. And we have responsibility for the Greater Long Beach area. We're in Bellflower. We have a bookstore there, but we're responsible for the Greater Long Beach area. Bellflower, Artesia, Cerritos, Norwalk, Long Beach, Seal Beach, Signal Hill, Dominguez. And what we do is much like what you're doing at release time, only we go into the public schools and teach Bible clubs on campus. We work side by side with release time. My beautiful assistant here is Laura Marin.
Good morning.
And her lovely daughter, Elena. So we had a situation at one of the training sessions that where they were teaching, they taught the children Isaiah 53:6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. They repeated it. Say it again to me, with me.
All we, like sheep, have gone astray.
Isaiah 53:6. And they drilled the children. All we, like sheep,
have gone astray. Isaiah 53:6.
Very good. Now, the next week, the teacher was so excited that he knew that he had drilled those children with that verse. He started that day, okay, we're going to learn a new verse. But first, last week's verse. And the little girl says, yes, I know it. All we, like sheep, have gone to Australia. What he understood, they knew. And what they understood, they knew. Was different altogether. So our goal is to make sure that they know it. That they know what it means, where it's found. How can they use it in their life? More than just a scripture that they get a sticker for or a Bible book and be able to cash it in, we want them to bury it in their heart. Hide it in their heart so that they can use that when the Lord, when that time comes. I met a lady who, when I first came to Christ, which is now 20 years ago, when I was just 18. I was 38 years old when I came to Christ. But I met this lady, and she had just come to Christ maybe 1 year. She had come back, as she told the story. And it was, she had found herself living a life that she would never, looking back, would never believe that that was her life. And she woke up one day, face down, in her, she had gotten sick, fallen asleep, and when she opened her eyes, the Lord gave her a memory verse that she had learned at in the second grade. And with that one verse, that day, her whole life changed. She had gone to Sunday school as a child, a neighbor took her, and after she was a certain age, she didn't go anymore. And now she was in her late 20s, and she had lived a life that God had not planned for her. But she came back with that one verse that that child learned in this second grade. I myself came to Christ because of a release time. My half-brother, I was raising him, and he was going to a release time class over here by Bret Hart. And he brought the word in, into the home. And he began to ask me questions, and I thought I could answer them. I watched Mysteries of the Bible. I knew my Bible. But as he got older, his questions got tougher. And I had to go to the resource. I had to go to the reference manual. I had to go to the Bible. Yeah. And I learned that all this time I thought I was going to heaven, I was not. All the time I thought I was decent, I was not. I was undone. And I came to Christ. Ladies, what you're doing has great, great value to the kingdom. But also, those children are taking God's word into their home. God's word that doesn't return void. God's word that has the power to cut and to heal. to correct and to encourage. That's saying God's word is going with your children into their home. But we don't want them telling it the way the little girl told it, do we? We want them to take the word pure. So why do we teach God's word? Well, we know that God's word is valuable, and he commanded it. He commanded to teach his word to the children. Read it with this with me. And these, Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And these words which I command you, who?
Today.
You today shall be in your heart. You shall
teach them
to your
diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
So, my apologies, I see that this purple is not coming through. So he says, I command you.
No.
Who?
You.
Today. Yeah, this might have been a couple thousand years ago, a few thousand years by now. But he's still saying, today. And it shall be where? In your heart. You shall teach them. Don't give it to somebody else. Whoever you is,
you teach
them. That's your task. That's your command. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them. When you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. That's for the parents. But it's also for us. We don't get out of not having to follow that command because they're not our children. We still have that same task. The Holy Spirit guides us. And he shows us. And he opens the hearts of those little children. In this changing world, we need something to cling to. Even as we as adults, something that's sure and steadfast. Something that never changes. What's better than the sure word of God? If we need something to cling to, imagine the children. And I know I'm preaching to the choir.
Right.
But it's a reminder that God's word. Those little children needs God's word too. The Holy Spirit will use that word that has been hidden in the heart. 1 Peter 1:23. I'm going to give this. We're going to keep the pencils out. We're going to do the sword drill. So 1 Peter 1:23.
Open your Bible and look.
Open your Bible and look.
I'm sorry.
1 Peter 1:23. Okay.
You want us to read it?
Yep.
Okay. Having been born again, not of corrupt by myself. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
How long?
Forever.
That woman, in her late 20s, God's word came back to her that she had learned in the second grade. And it turned her life around. So it's used to draw the unsaved to Christ. Psalm 119:9. Yes.
All right. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word.
Amen.
So for daily living. Okay, the next one. 1 Peter 3:15. As soon as you find it, go ahead and read it.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an offense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear.
Meekness
and fear.
I love that.
The hope that's in us. People ask, why do you always look at peace? Well, we know that we're not always at peace. We would like to think that we are, but deep in our heart, we know the truth. Mm-hmm. Sometimes our bodies get a little unsure, but we know the real truth, and we have that hope. And we want to share that with others. Isaiah 26:3.
will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you.
Comfort for the troubled heart. Children need this. Matthew 22:29.
Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God."
To combat unsound doctrine. Often other children questioned in the playground about what their faith, or told that you can't really believe Jesus, you know, God came back alive, or Jesus came back alive, and the child will say yes, but he'll go away thinking,
Even little things, one thing we ran into this week, I'm sorry, I'm just
no, go,
I'm
absolutely.
Little things that can wheedle into a little sweet angel's heart is like a little Christopher pin or something that will keep them safe. And then all of a sudden their little tender hearts are believing that they've got this little talisman that's going to save them, and just it pulls them away from sound doctrine. Something as simple as a gift.
Well-intended gift. We're here, we're there with them to share with them the truth. And it's not a task that, I know you don't take it lightly, but it's not just a, it has value, great value. Psalms 119:171.
My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes.
Help you praise God. So we follow a method, a particular method that I'm going to share with you today. It's called the IPAIR method. And it's the steps to teaching the memory verse. So I'm going to share with you some foundations, and my dear lovely assistant is going to show them to you as we're going step by step. So we want to introduce, we call it IPAIR because it stands for introduce it. So we're not just going to say like that example of that man, here's our memory verse today. Here's our scripture verse. We're going to introduce it. Here's an example, Miss Laura. We can use.
Hello, boys and girls. How are you today?
Good
job. I see everyone is happy. It's a big smile. Now, how many of you ever feel ashamed of something? Embarrassed of something? Yeah?
Yes.
Tell me something about it.
I was embarrassed that I didn't get the fire extinguisher out. I was afraid to get it when my bus caught on fire on Monday.
Well, you know what, boys and girls? It happened to me too. One time I was painting my house and I leaned on the wall, and guess what happened? I got paint all over my jacket, and I went off the market and I didn't notice. And when I finally noticed and realized it, oh, goodness gracious, I feel so embarrassed. I turned blue and purple and pink. Can you imagine my face turning that color? Yeah, I felt embarrassed.
So you can use a question, an object lesson, or show a picture. In this case, we did use an example of a question. Have you ever been embarrassed? Our verse is going to be, I am not ashamed of the gospel. So that gives them the already thinking in that direction. Okay. So present it.
Well, boys and girls, you know what? Today we're going to learn from God's word. This is the true word of God. And our memory verse is found in Romans 1:16. Romans, it's in the New Testament. 1 means the chapter, the big number in your Bible, and 16 is the little number in the Bible.
The true word of God, she said. How much of it is true?
All of it.
100%. And it's divided in two, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. That verse is in the
New Testament.
So we're going to present it. We're going to explain it. Teach the meaning of unfamiliar words and concepts. And if the verse comes from the scripture portion that you teach, be careful not to give away your end of your story.
Well, boys and girls, the Bible tells us there is one thing we should never, ever feel ashamed of. And ashamed is feeling embarrassed. And that one thing is the gospel. Now, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ.
And we're going to apply it. briefly explain how the verse relates to the unsaved child and the saved child. And some verses apply more specifically to one group. So we want to know, even in reading the verse, or maybe that, who does it apply to? Thy word I have hidden in my heart. Does that apply to the saved child or to the unsaved child?
The saved child.
So what would be the application for the unsaved child?
Get saved.
That's it. It's that simple. It's that simple.
So
if I had a star, I would give you two. Well, I do have a, I have two stars. Help the child to see how that it applies to their life. Is it a fact? Then remember it. Is it a promise? Then claim it for your very own. Is it a command? Then do what it says. Even for us, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, boys and girls, if you have never, ever, ever trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you can do that today. But if you have already trusted in Him, God doesn't want you to feel embarrassed or ashamed. But He wants you to go and tell everyone about the good news, the gospel.
Mm-hmm. And then my favorite part is repeat it, review it. Find a way that they're going to be able to have fun repeating it. They need to repeat it 8 to 10 times. So we're not going to say, as a man in Australia, okay, let's say it again. Okay, that was good, kids. Let's test it. For I, Romans 1:16.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
Good job. Let's say it again.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
I heard you in the back. Let's all say it again.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
Well, that was only 4 times. Was that fun, boys and girls? We want to say the verse first, the reference, and then the verse. Because if you have a party and you invite me to a party, or I invite you to a party, and I don't give you the address, how are you going to get there? And so even if the child doesn't remember the whole verse, if he remembers it was something that could help him and he knows where to find it, that's good.
Yes.
Use a variety of ways to repeat it. Okay, so everyone wearing blue, stand up. Really stand up. Everyone wearing blue. Now we're all going to say it together. Romans 1:16.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
Good job. Sit down. Okay, now everyone that is wearing black, stand up and let's say it together. Romans
1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
Good job. Okay, that's one way. But we want to get everyone to say it, not just the ones with the blue, because then the rest of them won't get it. Okay, here's one that I like. I usually have them stand up, but I won't have you stand up. Let's put one arm up and say it together. Romans 1:16.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
Very good. Put your other arm up. And now shake, wave them.
Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
Okay, now with your arms up, waving both your arms, and let's shake our head. Romans 1:16.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
So with ideas like that, you'll know your children, you'll know your space that you have. I know sometimes you're on a bus, so there's not a lot of space. You'll be able to find things that work for your kids. But something that's different. Each week, do something different. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they may think it's fun, but after, if you're doing something different, they like this one. Okay, but you're not going to do it next week.
Yeah.
Do something different. Wait for a couple of weeks before you do the same one again. Maybe the first letters. Oh, you could do ping pong. Ping pong. Okay. Romans.
1:16. For I am not ashamed of the
already know, we're going to show you some more. Be sure that you repeat it. Test them out the following week. You say it when you're getting your stuff ready, when you're handing them out their snacks. And let's say our verse while we get our snacks. And you're passing them out and you're saying it. Now you've already had your lesson, some time has gone by, and now they're testing it. So that's one way. You drop your papers. Let's say our memory verse. So while you're gathering them up, they can be saying the memory. Right? Find the moments that you can use that strategically. There's one way, Ms. Laura's going to show you a variety of ways.
Okay. You can make some crazy cards. So you'll put them in a bag and you'll have them pull them out. So whoever pulls it out says, turn around slowly. So you're going to have all of them standing up, and while saying the verse, they're going to have to turn around what?
Slowly.
There are different ways, there are different types. Hold your head in your hands. Tap your head. Jump up and down. Jump up and down. So while they're repeating, you're doing activities. Not just sitting, but there's something, they're getting all the wiggles out, mm-hmm. ready for them, and they're saying it. They don't think it's memorizing it, but we're getting our goal by them learning it, and they're having fun. So this is one way. These are called crazy cards. We also have the animal action. Animal action. This one says running plays like a cheetah. So imagine all your kids are standing up, running in place like a cheetah while they're saying their memory verse. So they're pulling out cards as they repeat their memory verse. Okay, we also have this one that it's going to be for today's review game, repetition. So I give one to the first one of the team, and then two teams, as you are already, there is a line in the middle, mm-hmm. and then they're going to repeat it, but they're going to have to pass the toy around. Mm-hmm. And whoever ends up with it at the end, they switch teams. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then they start all over again, and then the toy comes to another person, and they switch teams again. So they're switching teams. It's not more about competition, it's more of having fun and memorize it, mm-hmm. but they're learning to work together. Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are different repetitions.
Now, you want to establish the time from beginning to end, how long you're going to take. And stay within that time, because you don't want if you only have 20 minutes, you don't want to use up the whole 20 minutes for that. Have them repeat it a little bit faster. The first time, second time out, yes. But then you want them to start, if you have a shortened time, not so fast that it doesn't make sense, or not so fast that it's just gibberish. But we set it kind of like at a pace here, like we were marching.
I was just thinking when you're walking it back to the school, you can do like a little cadence
yes.
or something.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the I pair. So we saw that it's the introduce is the I, the P is the presentation, the E, A, R, I pair. So if anybody asks you, how do you teach it? I teach it the I pair method. Folks will be very impressed. I'm just kidding.
The one acceptable word, write that in.
Right there. So introduce it. Introduce a verse with something that relates to the children. She asked the question, have you ever been embarrassed about something? Have you ever done anything that's embarrassing? You want to keep it short. She told you something that embarrassed her. The kids like to know something about their teacher. We know that they love their teacher first. They love their teacher's Bible. They begin to love their teacher's God before they even begin to realize that he's their God. So those are just the steps that, of course, we're always pointing them to the Lord Christ. Mm-hmm. But that's just the way the little kids, the little hands think, okay? The little minds think. Cup hands or use a flashlight, an object, okay? The man that walked in darkness, you can ask them, can you see in here? What can you see when you look in there? Nothing. Want to go now?
Your hands.
It's clear. You can see what's in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
ask a question. How many times do you eat a day?
Too many.
Show a picture.
At least did you say that loud?
Like if, oh, we like sheep, okay? You can show the sheep. So presented, established that the verse is from the Word of God, and read it from your Bible, not just from the visual. The visual's good because I have, here's our verse today in Romans 1:16. Can you read it from there?
No.
Okay. Are you sure? It's pretty big. Romans 1:16, and I'll read it. Or maybe you could read it along with me and look up at the board and see that it says the same thing, and then you would read it. Or I could read it. In cases where you have a lesser amount of time, Romans 1:16. Tell me if it says the same thing. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16. Did it say the same thing?
Yes.
But since you can't read it from here, I put it on a paper like that so that you can read. You can see it. But establish that it's from the Word of God. It's not just something, because kids see signs all the time, mm-hmm. right? So read it from the Bible, not just the visual, and want to be sure they know where to find it at. You don't want them to invite, you don't want to invite them to a party that they don't know where it's at. Say the reference at the beginning and say it at the end. Each time they recite it, that way that it stays in their head. Explain it, and teaching the meaning of the unfamiliar words or concepts. So the gospel, we know what the gospel means, but remember, sometimes we get so acclimated to our Christianity, which is a good thing, that we're speaking Christian words that don't mean anything to a non-Christian. Oh yeah, I went out to share, I went witnessing the gospel. Kids don't know what witness means. Some adults, they say witness, and you're thinking, you went to court?
Yeah.
And the gospel, tell them what the gospel means. Just make it simple. Make it clear to them. Using kid-like terms. Mm-hmm. If a verse comes in the scripture portion, you'll teach, be careful not to give away your story. I know I said that before, but I can't impress on that. And then apply it. Briefly explain how they can use it as it relates to the unsaved child and to the saved child. And she showed you that example. Some apply more specifically. In this case, this one applied more specifically to the saved child. You want to do it with ease. You want to show them how to apply it. Is it a fact? Remember it. If it's a promise, claim it. If it's a command, then do what it says. We want to be sure that we can. They can say it next time. Not just say it, but also have it deep in their hearts. So repetition is essential. Once or twice isn't enough. Find a way that works for you that you're going to be able to get it repeated. So you've already got walking them back to the classroom as one time, right? You've got the time when you've already explained it, and now you're presenting it on the board. You can have them, when you're reading it from the Bible, you can have them repeating it then. That's going to cut your time. I'm trying to think of your 20 minutes or whatever your shortened time is with the release time. And then repeat it a couple of times. One more time, and then you could step it up. The kids like to say things fast. Mm-hmm. Not just gibberish. We want them to be able to know what it says. My goodness, this thing goes on forever, doesn't it? You're sure you'll be able to use it in your Bible lesson. Use it, repeat it again in your Bible lesson, and there you have it again. They're going to be hearing it again. Repeat it as you're getting ready. You drop your papers, that's a good time. While you're distributing it, the sample to go home. And then review it for the following week. Check to see how many can say it, and even how many know what it means. Use visual aids. A tool used to convey, use the visual aids would be the visual. They can't recall what they haven't learned, and they can't, they need to repeat it, okay? So if they know what it means, but they haven't really, you haven't really explained it, it's not gonna have the same value. So we wanna do it with ease, with excitement, as an example, know the verse yourself, and with the expectation, believing that the children can do it. How often have you said, or you've heard somebody say, well, you know, I'm older now, I can't remember things like I used to. I can't remember the verse. Yes, you can. We're not taking the time to do that. So be sure that you make that effort, make that time. That we could, some of them are not always short. This is the short one. This is, but then some of them are long. So we want to be able to do that as well. And yeah, you can have your notes, but make the effort. Be that example to the children. Present it with excitement. Be excited that you learned it, that you memorized it. Be that example. Laura, can you finish? And then we'll go on to the next. We're going to give you two workshops in one today.
Oh. All right, boys and girls, well, thank you for being here today. Have you ever felt embarrassed of something? Yes, a lot of things happen, right? Have you ever fall and maybe you felt someone was looking at you and you didn't know where to look? Well, you know what, boys and girls? There's one thing the Bible tells us we should never, ever, ever feel embarrassed, and that is of the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, and God wants you to share with others. That's the one thing you should never feel embarrassed. And where is that found? In the book of Romans. Chapter 1, verse 16. The book of Romans was written by Paul. He wrote many other letters, and he tells us what is the one thing they should never feel embarrassed. These are the letters Paul wrote. Can you say it with me?
Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon.
Very good. You guys did awesome. And that's found in the Bible. The Bible is God's word. The Bible is what?
God's word.
A true word. And this is found in the New Testament. New Testament. Can you go like this for New Testament?
New Testament.
The first part of the Bible is the
Old Testament.
Very good. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. You should never feel ashamed. But be bold in sharing the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ. He came to die for our sins. He took the punishment you and I deserve. And we should never feel embarrassed. We should be able to share with everyone. Now, boys and girls, if you have never, ever received Christ or trusted in him as your own savior of your sins, you can do that today. The gospel, which is the good news, is for you. And if you are already a son of God, a daughter of God, if you're already a child of God, and you have already trusted in Jesus as your own personal savior, God wants you to be bold and be able to share the gospel with him. Can you say it with me one more time?
Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
Now, do it with me. For
I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
One more time. We start with the address.
Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
Very good, boys and girls. Now, while you guys line up to go to the next activity, I want you to repeat it again. One more time.
Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16.
Very good. We have some examples here. You're standing right in front of the camera. This is, of course, flannel. So there's different, I'm sure you all know a variety of ways to present it. This is on a clothes hanger. I mean, clothesline. What's a clothesline? Children will say, what?
What's a clothesline?
That's what clothespins are for.
What's a clothespin?
Those are.
Quality versus quantity. It defeats the purpose of memorizing verses if the children do not understand. And they need it when they're fearful, when they're depressed, when they're angry, they're tempted, they're impatient, jealous. What other emotions do you face? Feeling hopeless? Feeling discouraged? Being just sad? Or feeling like they can't recall what they haven't learned? So we want to keep that in mind. Let's pray as we go on to our next session. That's in here. Thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void. Lord, thank you that you are showing us new and wonderful things every day about your word, Lord. Help these teachers to take what they've learned, what they've been reminded of, and use it with their children, Lord, that they would explain it to them, that they would introduce it in a fun way, that they would present it from the true word of God, that the children would know exactly how to find it, Lord. They would explain it. That it would have value to the children, Lord, more than just memorization, but truly that they would hide it in their hearts. We do thank you and we praise you, Lord. You're perfect. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, we thought since we're doing memory verses, and we're doing reviewing memory verses, that I could throw in review games. And we'll not throw in. We could add review games to that session. And it can be funny. It's exciting. It helps to learn. I had a situation where I was teaching, and if I ran out of time, I didn't do a review game. It was optional to me. Now, we at Child Evangelism, we have a set way of doing things, and we make time. And part of that was a review game, but if I ran out of time, I just didn't do it. Until one day I asked a child, or I'd shorten it, I asked a child, Jesus died and came back alive. Now, Jesus died and was buried. What happened on the third day? The child raised his hand, and he said, he was excited to be able to tell me that Jesus had turned into a rose.
A rose.
Why? How long had I been saying that very same thing?
Okay.
Yeah. And not knowing how they were receiving it. I never forget the review game.
Oh, wow.
I always make sure, I very, very rarely say never or always, but the review game is on anything in my life except for the review game. If I'm teaching, make sure that there's a review game. I personally, based on that experience. So I would encourage you as well. Take a little time to see what they've learned, whether it's in the introduction from the following week or before that date, it breaks that date. So it's fun. Why is it important? Well, I pretty much shared, that pretty much cleared it up, right?
Yeah.
And God's word encourages review, and it's helpful for you to evaluate. And it reinforces good teaching. So I had the opportunity that day to tell them that Jesus came back alive. And that's the phrase I use now. If I say he rose again, I say he came back alive. I say it together. I say it as one phrase. There's a couple of things that I use now as one phrase. But it's going to reinforce that teaching when you ask them a question and they don't have it just right, or they have it kind of messed up, you can clarify it. You don't want to go back into your whole teaching, but you can clarify it. Such as that little girl that had gone to Australia. And corrects faulty concepts. It helps meet basic needs. It gives them activity after they've been sitting. They've been sitting in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get them, and they're kind of wiggly already.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a review game from the day from the week before, just short maybe, or even with the memory verse. Who remembers the actions? Who remembers how the game that we played when we learned our memory verse last week? And they're. They have opportunity to repeat it, and you get some wigglies out, right? It gives them a sense of accomplishment when they're able to answer the question. We put them in teams, friendly competition, but when we have So this team won, so we'll have team two. Congratulate team one. Congratulate team one. Team one, congratulate team two.
Congratulations.
We always make sure that they good job each other. Not just the winners get the good job. It gives them approval. They like that. Being able to answer the questions and knowing that they got the answer right. Experiences in little competition, not any competition. You have to be careful. You know your students. Mm-hmm. You want to be mindful of that. Why do we use it? They provide opportunity for learning. And children like it. Start life for use a variety of games. Use discretion. Can you pass these handouts out if you haven't already? Use discretion when giving prizes. I'm not a big prize giver. What did you win? You won the opportunity to say you won. Accept all answers if at all possible. Okay, good. That's a good answer. Who else can tell me?
That's right.
No, weren't you listening? We want to do that. Everyone's a winner. And that's part of why you give each other the good job. Write out the questions in advance. Write them out. If you're not the one that's going to be asking the question, doing the review game, have the person. You should already have the questions written out. In our curriculum, the questions are already in the book. So have somebody ticking off what you said. Don't ask a question that didn't get shared. The other day I was teaching the lesson, I hadn't taught in a while, and they called me at the last minute for a substitute. I can do this. I went out there. One little last part I left off, and the lady who was part of that club did the review game, and she asked that question and insisted on that question, and I told her it's not part of, I didn't share that. And she was really looking for that answer. Go on to something that they do know. Mm-hmm. Let's give them that sense of victory. Let's give them that sense of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. But the assistant or whoever's doing the game has to be mindful of what's being taught. Or even as they're listening, be writing down the questions. I know sometimes that's hard because you have to be watching the kids too. Mm-hmm. They're multitaskers. They're women. You can do it. Include different type of questions. Not the yes or the, just the yes or no.
You have a man in here. You have a man in here too.
Yeah. I still stand by what I said. You're in here exactly for that reason. Questions, facts. Ask them facts. Spiritual truths. And application questions. If we know Jesus as our Savior, what does He want us to do? With what we've learned.
He wants us to share it.
He wants us to share it. What else does he want us to do? Do it. Right? So those are application. Be sure that if you're playing a game that they know how to play it.
And keep it simple, because if it's not simple, forget about it.
You don't have a whole lot of time. It's gotta
be
something that
rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors is simple. You give them points. They like points. Don't give them too high points. If somebody gets 1,000 twice, and this team picked 3 times but never got 1,000, they've lost. Even though they might have answered more questions. So keep the point system relatively reachable. Team games where kids work together, but mostly what we're talking about here are games that relate specifically to your lessons. We've used memory verse related games, review lesson games, games that have teaching value in and of themselves. A seasonal review game would be, we had this calendar for one of our Christmas lessons, and we used a beanbag. We tossed a beanbag on it, and they got points. But if they landed on December 25th, they got double points. Right? So that was something that we this season.
Thanksgiving.
This one spelled something out. Oh, this is. Yeah, as they answer the question, they started taking it off. Tell me how this worked.
Yes. So as they answer a question, they come and then pull, and then they have to guess what the word is. So if they guess the whole line, they get more points. If they just discover a letter, then they get less points. So let's say a letter is 50 points, but if they discover the whole word, it's 200 points for their team. Okay, so they're trying to guess. They're trying to know what it is. And this one was specifically seasonal. This was for the Thanksgiving lesson. But you can make it into the lesson you're teaching that day. If there are a few concepts that you're teaching or you're emphasizing in that lesson, whatever that you're teaching, if it's Easter, then you can put the word of resurrection. You can put alive. You can put certain words that relate to your lesson specifically. And then they have to not just play with the game, but emphasize or get to the point that you wanted them to learn.
So this says vary the time from week to week. The game at the beginning encourages promptness. So well, in your case, you're bringing them, right? Mm-hmm. You'll know the game, how it fits in your particular situation. Everybody's situation is different. Your time frames are all different, right? How long do you have for release time?
An hour, but you gotta walk them to and from the bus.
It's
about a 45 minute
lesson
after
everybody's done. You have plenty of time. 30 minutes? Plenty of time.
You can do it, you're a multitasker.
That's right. Well, here's the thing. You have to be prepared.
You have to be prepared.
You have to have your stuff stacked up, lined up, ready to go.
That's right.
That's going to cut down your time. Mm-hmm. Have it clear in your head already what you're going to do. Have your order set up, even so that others can see it. Written down so that others can see it. And they know what's coming up next. If you change anything, don't change it without telling your teammates. Because we're a team. That's why we say team. We're going to show you something.
Then they do the same thing, so both are moving at the same time. And you can play rock, paper, scissors. scissors. There are different things that you don't need to have. You can do it without props or without a bag or without points. They can just do it as activity.
Okay. We've given you a handout that has pages of game ideas.
Okay.
So hopefully that will
Thank you.
And patterns.
Patterns.
Thank you for being so attentive.